Welcome to another Michigan Writers Series evening. A new year begins with a trio of Michigan writers who will be reading their work this evening. Sheila Schimpf is a weekly columnist for the Lansing State Journal since 1987. Kathleen Levy is a reporter currently, sometime columnist as well.
That's right.
And John Snyder is a daily columnist since 1987. And all of them have the Lansing State Journal in common. So, my first question for you tonight is, which came first, your journalism or your creative writing? Is there a relationship? Is there a connection? Do they intersect?
Well, in my case, it was I guess the creative writing that came first. I was in high school, an indifferent student with no particular direction, and an English teacher forced me to write a radio play, which I did. Didn't enjoy it, but I did it anyway because it was an assignment, and ended up entering it in a contest and winning a prize, and it was the first inclination that I had that I had could possibly even use writing to make a living or as a career. And then once I determined that, the teacher sort of steered me toward journalism, and so that's how that happened with me.
Sheila?
Well, in my case, it was the opposite. I got into the student newspaper when I was a freshman in high school, and I did it through college, and it wasn't until I was into my 20s that I actually realized that I could write something other than truly factual. And what did it for me was reading all those children's books to my children. And it occurred to me that I could write a children's book, just like all the ones I was reading. So that's when I started writing children's books.
Kathleen?
Well, I can't do mathematics, so that closed a lot of career doors for me. And actually, the creative writing and the journalism, it has all been writing to me since as early as I can remember. I used to hang out at the library when I was a kid. I read everything in sight, and my father ran a small weekly newspaper when I was very young and a typesetting shop, and he read three or four newspapers a day. So there were always, I just grew up in a place where books and magazines and newspapers were all over the place all the time, and so I just kind of eventually figured out that that's what I was interested in, and that's what I wanted to do.
How do you describe your work? How do you characterize each of your work individually? Kathleen, let's start with you this time.
Well, I do a column which is pretty much my observations of, you know, kind of different things that are happening in life and things that I notice. My reporting, I think, is still evolving because although John and Sheila have kept their careers pure as writers, I was on the dark side for a long time as an editor. And recently this spring decided that I wanted to go back to writing and that was what I was best at, that was my highest calling in journalism. And so I am still kind of trying to shape what my direction is, what kinds of stories I'm going to be doing, and things like that.
Okay. Sheila?
That's a very hard question, and one I hadn't really thought about. What I try and do in everything, whether it's a children's story or a column or even a news story, is to connect facts and show people a side of something that they had never seen before. So I don't know whether you would call that interpretive writing or insight. But what I try and do is get behind the scenes and get into the feelings and get into the emotion and just explain things.
As creative nonfiction or as a pure essayist or...
See, I'm too much of a journalist to talk about that
genre
yet, right. I'm still basically... observing is a good word, and interpreting it for other people who either weren't there or who had never thought about it before. So I see myself as a person on the scene reporting to other people, even in fiction. That's the way I see myself.
John?
Well, as a daily columnist, I have to have a lot of variety. My main mission, of course, is to avoid boring people, and so I try to do a mix. when I was a journalism student at Wayne in the early 70s, there was a real feeling among journalism students that journalism was a vehicle to improve the world and help people. That's when people were actually majoring in social work, too, if we could remember those times. But so I've always seen journalism as a vehicle to, you know, as they say, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And so I try to use my column in that way to speak up for people without a voice, to represent the underdog, to tweak the noses of the self-important and the overly officious. And then I try to use it to sometimes sing the praises of the unsung hero, or just purely to point out something amusing or interesting. That's what I do 6 days a week. On Sundays, I write a personal column about something in my life, which is the most difficult column to write, the most vexing, the most the one I spend the most time on, but ultimately, it's the most rewarding one.
Mm-hmm. Sounds tough.
Well, I don't know. It's not a bad gig. I don't know. In fact, I think I enjoy it a lot. I can't imagine any other job at the newspaper that's as rewarding.
Probably not. I know. You all have early connections to Michigan, mm-hmm. and this is the Michigan Writers Series. How does Michigan figure as a muse for you? That what I'm trying to get at is not the clearly your stories are local or whatever, but does your locale figure?
Well, I don't think there's any way that a writer can divorce him or herself from where he or she lives. I think it's whether or not you know it consciously, it definitely affects your view of the world, the topics that you choose, your philosophy about life. I mean, I find myself writing a lot about the seasons and just mm-hmm. things about Michigan, things that are unique to Michigan or at least unique to the Midwest. And I'm sure that Kathleen and Sheila would find that to be true, too, of themselves.
I think it's especially true, the philosophy part. I lived in New Jersey for 2 years. The rest of my life I've been in Michigan. And then it's my observation that Michigan people, the Midwest people, are more open, more honest, and less cynical. And so I find that people welcome stories about families and about optimism. They like those columns that on the East Coast some people might think are corny, mm-hmm. but here there's a genuineness. People are not self-conscious about liking stories about things that are deep within us, mm-hmm. and I feel free to write those kind of stories, and I'm not sure I would feel that way if I were in another part of the country.
So it's been liberating.
Yes, I think so.
See, and I just think Michigan has really had a big influence on me. I'm a fifth-generation Michigander, Michiganian, whichever you say. And I have written a lot about the small town that I'm from, which is now becoming a Detroit suburb. It's a place called Pinckney, which happens to have a lot of new construction and did a few years ago, too. So it's really changing its image. And I think that that is something that is happening here in Michigan that is kind of feels universal, too. But Michigan, I think, is a really unique place because, you know, we're the only one where you carry your map around with you in your hand. you know, we have a lot of things that other states don't. And so I'm one of those Michigan people who is, you know, I've lived in other places and I like this one best. And I think that does kind of have an influence on my outlook and the way that mm-hmm. I feel.
A wonderful series of answers to that question. To something entirely different. What do you read, or who do you read, when you're not working on your own writing?
Harry Potter. Doesn't everybody.
I read fiction. My favorite form of reading is fiction. My wife, who's also in journalism, reads a lot of newspapers, a lot of magazines. You know, things like Newsweek and Time. And I look at those occasionally, but when it comes down to an hour to spend just doing nothing but reading, I always pick a book. And it's usually contemporary fiction. I'm a real big fan of John Irving. And Russell Banks is another favorite author of mine. Jim Harrison, who is also another Michigan writer. So yeah, it's, for me, it's I really enjoy fiction, and when I, if I have given an option, that's what I always turn to, is fiction.
I enjoy fiction too. I read a lot of that, and also I'm a magazine freak. The New Yorker, Vanity Fair, The Atlantic, and probably seven or eight other things. Entertainment Weekly, Vogue. That's my kind of my frivolous magazine. I just think that that there's a lot that you can take from magazines and take back to journalism. You know, there's kind of trend setting things there, but also it's interesting.
Lots of seeds.
Big variety.
Well, I really do read Harry Potter. As a person who wants to write children's literature, I try to read children's literature. So I cruise through the bookstores and I keep an eye on what's new. I read some fiction. I like murder mysteries. You know, and I also read magazines.
So what do you think of Harry Potter? I'm interested in knowing that. I didn't know you read about his books.
I love Harry Potter. Really? I think that she shows tremendous imagination, tremendous understanding of kids. As a writer, I think that almost all the books end too fast. She builds up this long plot with these tremendous characters, and then it's almost like at the last 50 pages, she just says, okay, we're going to end this one.
Well, that's certainly better than thinking it goes on too long.
Oh, no. I never would say that. I think her imagination is only to be admired. And her vocabulary. No dumbing down there.
Oh, a 12-year-old turned me on to Harry Potter, and I have to say that's the first book in quite a few years that has kept me up past my bedtime, as I wanted to read one more chapter.
You know, Caitlin, my 13-year-old daughter, hadn't read any of the books until this summer, and we were up at the cottage. It was a rainy day, and I said, why don't you try those Harry Potter books? No. So we went to town, and we found the first one, and she read it in about 2 hours, couldn't put it down, and then went through all four of them that 2 week period.
You know, my 21-year-old son took it with him on a trip this summer and read it in the airport and wasn't embarrassed at all. Sat there in the airport and read Harry Potter.
It's almost like you feel like you have to. It's such a phenomenon.
Right.
Tell us what you're working on now.
Well,
other than tomorrow's column.
Well, yeah, I just left the office and finished 3 columns for the weekend. So I'm not working on anything long range. I was flirting with a play. The Boar's Head Theater invited me to write a play.
Oh,
and I started it and got a little bit discouraged. And so at this point, it's on hold, but I might return to it at some point.
Well, look for that.
It's a whole different sort of writing entirely. It's something that was extremely alien to me.
But cast back to your radio play days.
Exactly. It's sort of like I've gone full circle.
Well, I've always got a children's book going. Fortunately, most of them are short, and so you can start one and finish one in a week if you have any time on it. I'm working on a series of books about a little girl and her goofy aunt. Who do all kinds of fun things, and they take a cruise, they go to a baseball game, they do things that that either I wanted to do when I was a kid or that I actually did. So just more children's books.
Great.
And I was fortunate enough to be included among the authors who were represented in a book called Peninsula that the MSU Press published this spring. Yeah, I guess it was spring. And I wrote an essay about a particular tradition that my family has in our very small hometown. And that has kind of gotten me thinking a lot about that particular place. And I've been doing a lot of writing about Pinckney. I'm going to read a little bit of that tonight. I'm not sure exactly where that's going, whether that'll be a series of essays or one long piece or just what, but it's kind of, you know, place-specific.
Do you remember Esquire? They don't do it anymore, I don't think, but they used to run a feature called Where I Live, Why I Live, Where I Live.
Yeah.
I used to think those were really fascinating, and I'm kind of disappointed that they've discontinued that.
Yeah, people's just kind of connection to their their space is very
strong. Yeah, and
it
went from people who lived in the city to people who lived in, you know, some tiny little town down in Louisiana or something, and explained why they were living where they were living. It was really interesting. Kind of reminds me of what you just said.
Yeah, and a lot of the essays in the Peninsula book kind of take that kind of tack. You know, they're kind of from all over the state. And there was a lot of explaining going on about what is so great about mm-hmm. here or there, and
a lot of those writers we have featured.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you have.
Michigan mm-hmm. Writers Series. And I hate to say this, the conversation is so interesting, but it is almost 7:30, and it's time for you to prepare for your reading. So thank you again very much, Sheila Schimpf, Kathleen Levy, and John Snyder.
Thank you.
Thanks.